You're listening to the Feast of Fools.
Give me a freak any day of the week. I'm comfortable with those you call demented.
On our show today, we have the fabulous and colorful club kid, Sal Esparza, and music history with Link Pinks, and the ever-so-kissable Mark Felian, and me, your furry, blue, lovable friend, Fausto Fernos. We're going to be talking about lesbian Indians, or Indian lesbians, Dave Matthews Band, and news, a little bit of music from the musical Taboo, and more on Club Kid culture.
I'm comfortable with those you call demented. Give me a break.
Okay, that's... I wonder why that musical didn't do too well.
What is that from?
What?
What is that from?
That music is from the Boy George produced with Rosie O'Donnell musical Taboo about the life and times of Leigh Bowery and Boy George. Hi, Mark. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing today?
Well, we're sitting here, and we're having a fabulous glasses of wine.
Provided to us by our neighbors.
Yes, our sweet downstairs neighbors. And we're drinking a bottle of Shiraz here up in Edgewater. And we're sitting with comedian, visual comedian, Sal E.
Who
goes by funny? Sal.
What?
What are you saying? He looks funny?
He looks a little funny. He has glowing red hair and a shirt to match, has a shaved star in the back. His eye makeup, he has 40 different glitter star tattoos. I'm not sure. Are those tattoos, Sal?
Of course they are.
On your face, and he has like these fangs coming out of his mouth, and he's sucking on a lollipop.
I had to stand out somehow.
Well, Sal, basically, for those of you who aren't familiar, is a nightclub performer and entertainer who dresses up in Technicolor children's clothes and sort of a cross between a anime character and a John Waters extra in a very beautiful sort of doll-like makeup, don't you?
I've been described as something like from a dream and nightmare at the same time or just surreal. I usually get the... Oh my God, wow. All I can say is wow.
So amazing. Someone comes up, basically you're paid to dress as weird as you can. I mean, as you guys look, I've seen you guys having like open wounds in your heads.
Mm-hmm.
With saran wrap to the point that it looked like you were suffocating.
With little baby heads coming out.
Baby heads glued to your head. And you are at these nightclubs and you're being paid to do what exactly?
Socialize, have fun, drink, and have fun, and have fun.
But it's not just gay nightclubs. It's all kinds of nightclubs in the town,
it's
right?
It's all kind of nightclubs around
Chicago,
mm-hmm. Different events. I've done concerts. I've done big charity events, dinners. I've done the Feast of Fools a couple times.
Yeah, you did a geisha girl.
That was hot.
That gave a blowjob to... Who was the guy now?
All the Way Ray.
All the Way Ray, who performs regularly on Charlie's.
At Charlie's, yep.
And we're hoping to have him as a guest on our show soon enough.
Quick question. What clubs in Chicago have you...
I can be seen at... Let me see. Crowbar, Soundbar, Berlin, Charlie's, Bobby's, Hydrate... Who else? Aren't you at? That's just Boys Town. Let me see. Outside Boys Town. Well, I did say downtown.
Like
too.
The straight clubs.
Yeah, I would say Transit. I've been seeing Transit.
You go to Soundbar a lot.
Soundbar, yeah. Entourage.
Which Y-bar. Basically, if you don't live in Chicago, which most of you don't, who are listening to this, this doesn't mean anything to you.
Spy Bar. Let me see.
Bottom Bar. I'm in the hellhole.
Yeah, but these are representative of a lot of the, what, for Chicago is cutting-edge clubs.
Well, see, I was reading a lot of articles about clubs to prepare for this interview with you. Mm-hmm. And first of all, there's no good definition for what a club kid is.
Right.
And second of all, there is very little written about the history of nightclub life, entertainment, and culture anywhere. Why do you think that is?
Well, when people think club kid, first thing that comes to mind is, I hate to say the name, but I'm going to have to, Michael Alec.
The serial killer in New York City, who the movie Party Monster was
based
on.
He only killed one person.
I know, but they put him well, in such a high...
That doesn't make you a serial killer.
He was a serial killer with a C.
He killed him twice.
No, he was eating a lot of cereal at the time when he was killing them.
He was
anyways,
a mess.
So why do you think people associate... Special is it because K. of the movie?
Well,
because
they see, or what they've heard from the movie and from the book Disco Bloodbath by James St. James. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that comes to mind is like, oh my God, these people dress up, they do a lot of drugs, and that's it. No, it's a way of like...
Do you do a lot of drugs?
Do I? No, I just drink a lot.
Did Cheers. You read the Frank Owen Clubland book?
I did, and I was bored with chapters. Wait, I went through 1 through 7, then I got bored with it, got back into it, and yeah, it was a lot of detail, a lot of fact, and didn't like it.
Not enough sleep. It's a St. James
that's
is
Saint
a
James,
fun read.
Yes, I recommend it to everybody, and that gives you a taste of what my life is kind of without all the negative stuff.
And James St. James is a regular columnist yep. on one of our favorite websites, worldofwonder.net, that provides a lot of the inspiration and news items for this podcast, as well as they're the production company behind the new documentary of the movie Inside Deep Throat. So definitely
do you
go
know if
see that.
James St. James is writing another book?
I don't know. What am I, his publicist?
Well, you
or something?
Said you, you know.
I read his read his articles on World of Wonder. That's about okay. it. Okay, let's go into the news here. Today in the news, lesbian marriages born of a legal loophole stir debate in India. Let's get some Indian. Oh, hi, Mark. You know, Mark and I are going to do a little lesbian news item. It seems that lesbindians' lips are getting all caught up in a tizzy on gay marriage because it's legal. Or not quite legal as it is. They've not made it illegal. So these curry carpet cleaners are doing it old school style. They're getting married legally in India. But, as always, there's a snatch. It's still illegal to have homosexual of any kind in the very conservative Hindu country, so Hindu sexuals will have to do what most single lesbians here in America do, and that is watch reruns of Ellen on TV instead.
Now, I can't believe in the land of the Kama Sutra that homosexual sex would be illegal. So what are all these tandoori tops and basmati bottoms doing?
Tandoori tops and basmati bottoms?
Yeah.
Terrible, Mark.
What do you expect? It's a podcast.
Well, in reality, one lesbian couple, Raju and her partner Mala, are not just breaking the common lesbian taboo, but they're also an inter-caste couple, which means Raju is in a ghetto hurrying her untouchable pussy on Mala's high-caste lips.
So, hey, but when they're gonna have the Mansoon wedding? Any gay men getting married?
It would be a woman soon.
Women soon? Well, it's already been a woman had wedding, right?
Well, it's sort of interesting that, you know, a very conservative third world country as India is slightly more tolerant than first world country, which is Italy, with the stupid Pope getting his tracheotomy today. I hope that that knife slips.
Yeah, it's just what the Pope needs, another hole.
I know. They're going to try to fill him up with holes. It's like, here, you need to puncture a hole in your throat so you can breathe, old man.
So if you're the same sex in India, you can marry one another, but you can't have sex.
Well, you could have sex, but it'd be illegal.
Right.
Yeah. So
I'm sure there's a lot of gay sex going on.
And Mark and I, after these podcasts, because the basically bouncing to disc, we record on Pro Tools here in Chicago, Illinois, and with a G4 laptop. And while, you know, it takes about the same amount, it's real time, basically, that we're bouncing the audio files to disc. And so we go to our bedroom and we have sex.
What kind of sex?
We have homosexual sex.
Well, I want to hear from if any gay Indian people.
Yeah.
We want to hear from you.
We want to know what it's like to be gay in India. So send us an email to mail@feastoffools.net. And let's go into our next
Some pictures, too, would be good.
Yeah, a photo of yourself would be fantastic.
I liked one of those pictures that your viewers sent you.
Oh, the Do You Trim? The
listeners, yes.
Oh, yeah.
That was delicious.
Do you think that was really him?
Well, it could
be. I don't know.
What was the guy's name?
I forget.
He's a student in Indiana University.
I want to see the picture.
He was like 6 foot four, and he goes, I trim because it makes my 9-inch cock.
Oh, him.
Bigger.
Yeah, he should have.
Like, you need to make it look bigger.
Well, that's a fact, but yeah, it's a different show.
Okay, so next in the news is the Dave Matthews Band's being sued for dumping waste on a boat.
Like, if this music's not bad enough as it is.
So, let me read this to you. The company of the tour boat that the Dave Matthews Band bus driver allegedly dumped human waste on has filed a lawsuit against the band and its driver. Mercury Skyline Yacht Charters accuses the band and driver Stephen Wolfe of negligence and gross negligence for knowingly dumping the waste on the boat last August. The lawsuit, filed in Cook County Circuit Court, also alleges the incident financially hurt the suburban Chicago company.
Cook County, of course, it took a dump on their ship.
You know, it smells like shit. Cook County prosecutors have also charged Wall with reckless conduct and discharging contaminated waste to cause water pollution. Prosecutors allege Wool emptied the contents of the bus's septic tank on August 8th as the tour boat traveled under a bridge on the Chicago River. And just so lucky that Sal E is here today because his friend was the tour conductor on the boat.
It's a true story, and it's one of those 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon. I mean, Kevin Bacon's not involved.
Separation.
Separation, yeah.
7 degrees of separation.
My friend Robert Moore was the guy on the boat giving the tour as he was pointing up, talking about the famous, you know, Chicago structure, building, landscape, whatever. And he was pointing up. Everybody was looking up. Then all of a sudden, it fell on everybody. And then all of a sudden...
How did they know it was Dave Matthews?
They caught on camera.
Yeah, they caught on camera. It was like, yeah.
Somebody had a video.
No, it was the city, like outside of a bank. There was a, they knew what time it happened. They looked at the bank.
A camera.
The clock. There was a camera outside the bank.
So basically, Dave Matthews has a reputation for being a guy who likes to...
Very socially conscious.
No, he's a scat queen.
Now, speaking of degrees of separation, I don't think you've heard this story, Taylor. My friend, I won't say her name because she wouldn't call and tell the story first degree. Her friend was set up on a date with Dave Matthews and went back to his house, and they were going to get it on. But then he wanted her to lay underneath his glass coffee table, and he was going to shit on it.
Now, was it going to be a tight poop or shower?
I have no idea what it was going to be like. Now, when she first told me the story, she said Dave Matthews wanted to shit directly on her.
Link Pinks is holding up a sign reminding us to call him Link Pinks.
Please, like, that's important. Well, this story is going
back
on.
There's shit to talk about.
Back to
literally.
The shit.
This is the shit. The feast of fools.
So she said, no way. Now, these are stories we've heard.
Oh, that's what she says now afterwards. You know? But I'm sure she basically played Bozo's grand prize game by allowing him to put a little ping pong ball in her bucket.
Wait, I want to get back to the boat ride. So he was giving the tour, and they all got, like, showered and shit, and they're all looking up, and they didn't realize. They're like, oh my god, this is shit. Then the smell hit. And he described the scene like the scene from, Stand By Me, when they were, like, all hurling at each other, just throwing up.
He
was like, first the shit was everywhere, and then the puke was everywhere, and then the smell got, and then it was, people were puking on each other.
So really, people had a visceral reaction.
Mass, like, they got in their eyes, puking.
It got in their mouths.
No, but so you had, like, basically 50 people or so vomiting simultaneously.
On each other. And
that might have actually been fun. If I wasn't in there, it actually might have been fun to watch.
I want to see the
video.
It
would be fun to watch. Some people have a theory that Dave was actually on the bus and jerking himself off as he pulled the lever and spewed shit all over these people.
I bet you.
You know, because he's into shit.
And it's as if his music is not bad enough. Now he's doing this.
He's got to physically shit on people
rather
than musically.
Okay.
So, well, speaking of dumping on people.
Are we getting sued?
Speaking of flushing things down the toilet, in Anchorage, Alaska, surgeons reattach an Anchorage man's penis after his girlfriend cut it off with a kitchen knife. A city worker recovered the appendage after Kim Tran flushed it down a toilet. Doctors performed reattachment surgery Sunday. Now, this is the second time in the news, the famous Bobbitt case, of course, where a penis
was severed. Like
hours. I mean, this was flushed down the toilet, and they were able to put it back on the man's body, and it works. Which goes to my theory is that a man's cock is a life of its own.
I think you're overlooking one important part of this story. Maybe Kin Tran wanted her husband to become a Tran.
Getting your penis cut off, I don't know, would you want the same one put back on, or would you want it bigger?
I'd want a bigger one.
I would want a bigger one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's like, get one. Doctors, while you're at it, go find some cadaver, you know.
I want some extra skin at it.
Yeah, it's like, make me a... So that basically means that you could have a penis...
But they say it's not going to work well. I mean, I'd rather have a small dick that works well than a big dick that
doesn't
work.
I'm sure that a reattached penis is no... It's basically like a transgendered penis.
What was Bobbitt's first name, the man?
John Bobbitt.
You know, he appeared in a porn film after the fact.
That's right. Yeah.
And it was,
so it did work.
Seemed to work, and it wasn't that big either.
No?
No.
It could have been
a
cocktail sausage.
Really?
Well, wow. There's no cocktail sausages in Paris Hilton's, her mobile device. Her BlackBerry or Blueberry. Just when you thought you had seen Paris Hilton do it all, topless lesbian pics of Paris Hilton have hit the net today. The snatch pics show Paris Hilton, age 24, in a clinch with MTV star Eglatina Zing. Ooh. Paris said, "I can't believe it. It's a terrible invasion of my privacy, you know. Eglatina and I were just joking around. It wasn't sexual, you know."
I'm sorry. Once again, I'm going to interject. And she does this crap on purpose because she has no talent. She did.
So you think she actually convinced someone to hack into her
She posted it, or she likes she made it available for
people.
Well,
it was
her publicist did it.
Yeah, hello. Just like her
publicist?
Porn. I'm sorry. A porn accidentally leaked out? No, 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 no.
Well, maybe she's just horny like you are.
Well, I want the world to see me.
You know, Sal E., if you're lucky enough to be on Sal Esparza's mailing list, you send out...
Oh, that's right, yeah.
On an almost daily basis, photographs of you.
And it's like, I don't just send pictures out. I send pictures with a story added. So it's like a little comic book or
It's really wonderful, I actually say. And what to me, the most amazing thing is that you managed to whip together a different outfit... Probably two or three nights a week.
It's part of my whole thing. I don't do repeats, and it's a little joke that I have with some of the other kids in Queens in the city. It's like, you're wearing that again? Like, honey, we've seen it. It's been in print. You can't do it, you know? So what I'll do is I'll wear an outfit once.
Name names, come on.
Oh, okay, JoJo.
I think I've seen that Miss Cadillac DeVille a couple of times in that same outfit.
But, you know, one thing I have to say in Chicago... Because I've traveled a lot and been to a lot of different nightclubs and seen a lot of drag shows and club kid shows in many cities in the United States. And Chicago has some of the nicest club personalities, divas, drag queens, anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know. The first time I met Silky, he hissed at me.
Really? He was in character, I'm sure.
But I have to say, a lot... You go to West Hollywood and people are just, "Who are you? Do you know who I am?" I mean, one time I walked to Lipsynka.
Okay.
And I was in New York City, and I went, "Lipsynka, you're so wonderful." And he just, like, gave me this cold, icy stare.
Like, I know.
Yeah, it was awful, you know? And I'm sure that millions of people come up to you on a weekend basis.
Well, it's funny, because you know how you mentioned I sent out those emails? Sometimes I don't know where they go, because you know how people forward them.
Oh, people forward them, yeah.
Oh, and then I'll go where... Perfect example, I walked in the Fireball, big circuit party that happened this weekend, and I was supposed to go to the table, VIP table, and get my VIP tag or whatever. I walked down the stairs, and there was a banister, and I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to slide down the banister. So I made my entrance, slid down the banister, walked down. Three people walk up to me and put this, like, thing around my neck, and they're like, "Here's your VIP pass. We've been waiting for you. You're Sal E." And I was like, oh, my God, okay.
So you think that's actually helped your career as a local personality to have such a strong internet presence?
Yeah, and what's most amazing now, someone asked me or approached me if I'm interested in doing a magazine online that's going to be kind of like Project X, but like the new version with the new kids, and not just club kids.
Are they paying you money?
Are there interests? We're going to start off with, you know,
it's going to be like the podcasts.
Yeah. Oh, I don't care.
Free just, for everyone to see.
My goal is for people to, you know, see, experience, hear, or, you know, just to see me, just to see, be like, oh, wow, okay, now I know what they're talking about.
Well, we'll be posting some pictures of Sally on our website so people know what we're talking about.
And it's funny because people are like, well, what do you do? Is that drag? Is it? And I'm like, well, I want to call it intense club. And my looks range from Cirque du Soleil to, like, I love horror movies. So, and it might be blood and, you know, gore. Or it can be just, you know, I might be doing somebody else. You know,
but there's a very strong, I don't know if you guys are aware, like the scene, that there's a very strong presence and tradition to geisha girls in Japan.
Oh yeah, I love doing
and
that.
And Japanese animation.
And that
culture.
Started just because people ask me, oh, why do you do whiteface? Why is that? And I'm like, well, I grew up and I love looking at dolls and they look so pretty and so perfect. So the whole white skin goes back to, like,
porcelain
dolls. Mm-hmm. And then Patrick Nagel is another artist that influenced me. All the girls look amazing. They all have white skin. And I love doing that. And then Kabuki was introduced to me. And when I went to Japan, a whole new world.
So you've actually been to Japan?
I've been to Japan.
Once?
And I was there for a whole summer, just for shits and giggles. I went there
Were you doing the club scene there?
No, well, I went just as myself for vacation. And wow. My friend was like, oh, I want to take you to the clubs down here. So I'm like, okay. And I saw what they were doing. And I'm like, okay. And then he took me to Harajuku. Loved that place.
That was a club in
Japan? No, Harajuku is like what, it's like this little town or this little area, kind of like what Belmont and Clark used to be.
Oh, and
like
all the
where
kids
all the punks
hang
and all the kids
out.
Dress up. These kids come out of school, dressed up in their school uniforms. I love their cool, cute little school uniforms. They run into the public bathrooms and they go put their full faces on by putting their faces on. I mean, by putting their makeup on, whether they're doing a rockabilly look, a goth look, a cyberpunk club kid look, or, you know, whatever. And they get all decked out. They walk around this park, kind of like Central Park. Mm-hmm. And they have it all sectioned off so that they hang out like, we're the cool kids. No, we're cooler. No, we're coolest, you know? And it's hilarious. And I was like, oh my God.
So it was like a competition.
Yes. And it was hilarious. But then once like 5 or 6 o'clock comes and it's time for them to go home, they all run to the bathroom, take their makeup off, and get back in the school uniforms and go home.
That is so cute.
And what I loved about it is they took like traditional kimonos, cut them up, wore them inside out, backwards, or as headdresses, and that was an outfit. And I was like, oh my God, that's the stuff I do.
And so you spend a lot of time finding existing garments and dissect them.
Yes, that's what I do.
Now, that seems really interesting that there was this like whole culture that was sort of portable drag.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. How did it affect you?
Well,
because you spend, how much time do you spend getting ready? About 2 or 3 hours?
2 or 3 hours, but I also like doing all my costumes on a sketchbook. If it works visually for me on a sketchbook, if I can draw it, I can make it. And if someone gives me an idea, like I'm doing a photo shoot next week, and they're like, oh, we're doing cyberpunk. And I'm like, oh, I have an idea. And they're like, go, we're going to do it.
So those geisha girls outfits that you had in our XXX Nutcracker for the Last Feast of Fools live show,
okay,
that we did, were those made by you?
No, those I bought. I was wearing two different pieces. Bought in Chinatown here in Chicago. And no, let me take that back. I lied. When I was on vacation in Florida, I found this cute little like flea market
boutique
area. Uh-huh. And I go, I need something big for like a big girl. She's like, and right away she was like, is this for you? And I'm like, of course it is. And I was there and my boyfriend was like, I cannot believe you're buying girl clothes. I'm like, look at this. And of course he was like, you are going to let me wear it, right? Because wow. he does benefit shows too sometimes.
Who's your boyfriend?
His name is Wade, but he goes by Wait a Minute.
Oh, we know. Wait a minute.
Yeah, you do.
When you were in Japan, mm-hmm. did you make up for the afternoon? You show at any time?
I was just taking it all in, and my friend's like, I know you want to run in somewhere and just buy some makeup and slap it on real quick. And I was like, no, 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 temptation, no, no.
I was just thinking, because you could influence.
Oh, God. I was like, he was like, I know you can blow these kids out of the water. I'm like, but it's not about me. I'm just here to take in. And then a couple years later, this book came out called Fruits. And
oh, yes.
It was
very influential book for me too.
And it was all these kids, and I'm like, oh my god, I was there. And then my friend was like, no, this is in like China, and I'm like, honey, that's in Japan, in this little town Harajuku. And it's so funny because Gwen Stefani has been singing about Harajuku girls and Harajuku stuff and this and that. And I'm like, I was there, I can relate.
Well, it's interesting that you're sort of... I'm interested to know that you have a partner that you share a lot of night... You guys basically dress up on the weekends.
We don't always dress up. He always gets to see the pictures and then, you know, kicks himself in the head for not going out with me. But he's a bartender.
He doesn't go out as much.
And a massage therapist. So he gets run down fast.
A legitimate massage therapist?
He's a massage therapist. My personal one, of course.
Ooh.
And, happy ending?
Yeah, no, we're not talking about that.
He gives him a happy meal.
Happy endings. No, yeah.
Is there any competition or a little bit of tension between you two?
Well, when we dress up together, he always says to me, I do not want to be your sidekick.
And I'm so he's very... It's very important to him to be distant and separate from
you. Have his own personality.
Because I'll do his makeup.
He doesn't want to be like Sally Jr.
Exactly.
Or Mini Sal.
He wants to be his own entity and I'm person. I'm like, you know what, whatever. But I'll do his makeup and then he's like, my lip is wrong or my cheek, this side's too dark or I need more glitter or I need more. I'm like, relax, just whatever. I'll fix you in a minute and I'll do my face. And then he's like, that's not fair. You look more... fierce. You did this on purpose. You sabotaged me. And I'm like, oh gosh. And I'm like, you know what?
He ripped his dress.
Whatever. I'm like, what do you want to wear? Do you want to wear my outfit? Fine. So I'll put my outfit on him and I'll wear his. And he's like, you look better than me. And I'm like, I can't win. So.
Sounds like you have a lifetime fan.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back into news here. Crispin Glover is having problems releasing his directorial debut film, What Is It? Because the film's production lab, Technicolor, refuses to make copies of the surrealist, controversial film. Which, by the way, I saw the trailer, and it is fabulous. Well, a bit bizarre. Definitely something for Madge Weinstein to make a movie, her own movie version. Let me describe it. The trailer includes such controversial images as a minstrel in blackface, who aspires to be an invertebrate by injecting snail enzymes into his cheeks. A Nazi dictator dresses Shirley Temple. The Botticelli Venus, re-envisioned as a naked man with cerebral palsy, fondled by a naked woman wearing a monkey mask. A full cast of actors with Down syndromes running around with one of them killing a small snail with salt. What Is It is one of the instances where the review of the film and the title will be bearing the same name.
What Is It? I can't wait to see it.
I know.
That's something that I would totally want to see, yeah.
I'm just like, I'll be there the front day. It's actually the Sundance Film Festival debuting with Strangers with Candy, the movie. So definitely two movies we're just dying to see now. Hopefully he'll be able to get a copy of it made somewhere. I'm sure... In Germany or somebody's going to...
I have a friend that, or a guy that sees me at the nightclubs and brings me bootlegs, so if I get this, I'll share it with you
Oh,
guys.
We'd love nice. To see it. Yes.
Sounds like a combination of a Peter Greenaway and a movie, and who's the director of Naked Lunch?
David Lynch.
David Lynch. Yeah, it sounds like the two of them coming together.
Like an update of Freaks.
Yeah, like well, that. When I saw it, it sort of had that feeling of those... commercials on the Sci-Fi Channel.
I love those.
You know what I'm talking about? Station identifications.
I love when the little girl's playing with the little Jack in the Box, and all her friends are like, "Ooh, yay!" And then it pops, and it's this big demon, and scares them all. And she's like giggling, and he's giggling. It's good times.
She scares them a lot. Well, it was definitely scary, and you know, I've always wanted to make a movie with a cast of actors with Down syndrome. Oh. So I'm really, really jealous that Crispin Glover, wearing a full-length mink coat with his hair almost to the length of the floor to match, which this is like a movie that you would make, actually. Have you actually worked on any projects with photographers or worn blackface yourself?
Yes, I have. I did. One of my favorite people that I loved watching and like doing is Marilyn Manson. And there's one Marilyn Manson look that he does where he's all in blackface and white, big white lips and Mickey Mouse ears. And someone's like, oh my God, would you ever do that? But that would be so wrong. And I'm like, you know what? It's me having fun. I'm not making fun of anybody. It's just, you know, just trying to do it. Trying to, you know, do that look.
But did people get offended, though?
No, they were like, oh my God. That is.
You were freaky.
Well, I also wore my 12 and a half inch stacks, and I was bigger than everybody, and it was yeah, good times.
Have you ever offended anybody?
No. Another time I did.
No one's ever thrown their drink at you?
No.
Not even other queens try to sabotage you?
I have other queens like tell me, oh, I've done that already, or I've done something similar to it. I'm like, exact, you might have done it, but not like this. And I don't mean to sound catty, but, you know, it's funny because they're like, oh my God, oh, I've seen this before. I've heard a lot of people tell me that. Or latest comment I heard someone tell me was, yeah, Macaulay Culkin called, and he wants the Party Monster outfits back.
Well, it's funny because some of those. Oh, Jesus.
It's okay. Now that everybody's still
on on the laptop here, Mark just got so excited by
laughing.
Thinking about the whole cast of Mongoloids.
In Club Kid gear.
Just envisioning that he knocked over an entire bottle of Shiraz.
So, what's your comeback for the Macaulay Culkin thing? Have you come up with one yet?
Well, it's funny with that. I was like, you know. It's funny, they say stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, that's cute. Well, so without that, without skipping a beat, I walked to the guy and I'm like, you know, you really ought to be a lot cuter before you make that comment. And all his friends were like, oh my God, oh my God. And I'm like, no, I'm not trying to be mean. It's just, you know.
It's just a queen's read.
Yeah, it's just like, you want to be red, sweetie, you mess with the wrong person. Because I'm taller than you, I'm bigger than you, and, you know, I'm not afraid to shove this big ass foot up your ass.
Now, one point that we're missing here is that in the movie Party Monster, right, that was made by World of Wonder Productions.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the outfits were donated by a bunch of my friends. And it's funny because they're like, oh, well, I know so-and-so. I'm like, well, guess what? So do I. You want to play name-dropping games? You name a bunch of people, and I'll tell you if I know them or not.
So let's play a name-dropping game.
Zazoon Satori, my two favorite friends
yes,
from Cincinnati.
Who also have a fabulous live journal.
Yeah.
Weblog, and then we'll put.
And a huge collection of big shoes.
Wow.
Which were used in the movie Party Monster. A bunch of the kids there their shoes were used in the movie.
And who else do you know? Dennis Rodman.
Well, JoJo. JoJo was there, of course. I had to, you know.
Well, everybody knows JoJo.
Even Astro his Earl, wife. Walt Paper, Kabuki. Oh, love Kabuki.
No, these are all local personalities, though. How about the bigger national? Dennis Rodman, did you ever work on his hair?
No, JoJo did his hair.
JoJo did his hair. Yeah. He's the one who actually was responsible for making him look the way he does.
Yep.
Because he came in and he was just an average-looking basketball player.
And he would say stuff like, I just want to look different. And then sometimes he wouldn't want
to come bleached
to the
hair.
Salon. He's like, we're bleaching your hair and we're going to, you know, color it several colors and put leopard spots and, you know, maybe a stripe or maybe a star or something like that. And then everybody was like, oh my God, Dennis Rodman is so creative. Well, no, you have to think about the people who made him that way.
He paid for it.
Yeah.
Well, he's creative enough to allow that to happen. I mean, certainly Michael, I don't see Michael Jordan doing any of this.
He showed up, he was at the Green Dolphin, which is one of the nightclubs I work at on Monday nights called Boom Boom Room. And it was so funny because who was with them? John Cusack. And John Cusack goes up to me and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be here with a bunch of friends. And Michael Jordan, you know Michael Jordan, don't you? And I was like, oh, of course I do. Who is he? What is he doing? So I let John Cusack in, and it was so funny because people were like, "Who was that? Who was that?" And me, like a dumbass, was like, "Oh, that's my friend John Malkovich." I caught myself, and I was like, "I meant Cusack." And then who walks to the door? Michael Jordan. He's like, and he thought he like walked in like he owned the place. I'm like,
he went, "Hi, Sally."
Did you card
and I'm
him?
Like, "I'm like, sorry, honey, that's my job." And then he's like, "Oh, it's me and my party." I'm like, "How many are with you?" And he was like, "Oh, like 12." And I'm like, "Okay, it's just gonna be a minute." And I go, I just need you and your party to have your IDs out. And he's like, but I'm Mr. Jordan. I'm Michael Jordan. And I'm like, that's cute. Do you have an ID? So I carded Michael Jordan. And he pulled out his ID. I'm like, do you have anything else? And he's like, you can't be serious. And of course, I'm looking at him, you know, eye to eye because I had my big ass shoes on.
Well, he's only 6'6".
Well, I was bigger. I loved it.
So basically, Michael Jordan this week's wins are... Do you know who I am?
Well, my favorite line is like, do you know who I think I am? It's like, I get that all the time. I know so-and-so. Well, that's good for you. And? You know, I don't care. I'm doing my job and, you know, just play along. Have fun.
How are things at Boom Boom Room on Mondays these days?
It's good. It's been getting packed and sometimes, you know, people have to wait. But, you know, if you wait, you'll get in.
Oh, really? People have to wait?
Yeah, but I
usually... Do the very important people have to wait?
I hook them up.
All right.
Well, and now we're going to go a little segment what we call Looking Back on Music with Ling Pinks. And let me put his intro music here.
Even the greatest stars.
Ling Pinks goes back in time to today, the same day today, many years ago, and tells you what dumb things happen in the world of music.
Good evening. This is Ling Pinks with Music in the Rearview Mirror. This week in music history, Sun Records debuted with a very forgettable single. And as everyone might remember, Sun Records was the home of Elvis. And
thank you very much.
Johnny Cash and Jerry Lee Lewis and Carl Perkins. Let's see, what else happened this week? Curtin Courtney.
I took a shit.
You took a shit. You do that
quite
often.
Where'd you take it?
In my bathroom.
On a glass table.
That was cool. Mark actually was underneath the glass table.
I took the shit on the glass table.
Can I say something?
Sure.
No, you can't.
I do hair during the day, and I do hair for...
Oh, yeah, you cut
He's
hair
a fantastic visual...
I work at Emilio's Hair Salon located at... Oh gosh!
Very high.
Belmont and Sheffield.
Belmont and Sheffield.
Yeah, ends are very high.
I had to plug in my place of business, otherwise my boss would be like, "So, where did you have to leave early on Thursday night?"
Oh yeah, go get your haircut at Emilio's Hair Salon. Which actually,
we have a website too. It's at emilioshairsalon.com.
Don't worry about it. We'll put a link.
Okay. What else was I going to say? Talking about sitting on the table, whatever. Well, I do a bunch of strippers. I cut, color, do extensions, I wax, I do wigs and makeup, whatever. I do it all. That's what my card says. Anyways, one of my clients, I'm not going to reveal her name, and she was like, oh, yeah, I do a bunch of people here in Chicago and stuff, but, you know, some of the funny people, I get paid a lot of money. And I'm like, what do you mean a lot of money? I'm like, yeah, you know, to do certain things. And one of the things was, like you said, guys want to, like, sit under a glass table and have, you know, girls poop and shit and piss drop stuff on them.
Have you ever waxed an ass?
Of course.
Love is a burning thing. All right, getting back to...
And it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire.
All right, this week in 1968, Johnny and June Carter Cash got married after a long and tempestuous love affair.
They had a gay wedding or a straight wedding?
It was a straight wedding. And actually the song...
Legal in India.
That song that you played was Ring of Fire, which was written by June Carter Cash about her lustfulness for Johnny.
And the flames went higher and it burned. Okay. And what? So she was born today?
No. They were married this week.
Oh, how nice. Well, now that they're both dead, is she still alive?
No. She died, and then 4 months later, Johnny died. Because they were that in tune with
one
another.
That's like me and Mark.
Well, when he met her in 1961, he says, I'm going to marry you. And she thought he was crazy. He was married to another woman. She was married to another man. And she started having feelings for him. And because she was a very devout Christian woman, she felt, you know, that she was going to go to hell for... You know, lusting after this man, and after he cleaned up from drugs and stuff, they got married in 1968.
Cool. So, and let's talk about who died.
No, I want to talk about who was born this week. Brian Jones of the Rolling Stones, Cindy Wilson of the B-52s, and Roger Daltrey of the Who.
Is he gay?
Roger Daltrey. Yeah. No, I don't think so.
I think he's a lesbian.
Then it doesn't matter. Just kidding. Just kidding to our straight friends. Let's go into...
All right, our last little piece here.
Oops.
This.
Hold on. Why do fools fall in love?
And Why Do Fools Sing So Gay? Well, anyway, that was Frankie Lyman from his 1956 hit, Why Do Fools Fall in Love? He died this week of a heroin overdose at age 26.
Ooh, I bet he was thin.
That's a dude singing that song?
That's a dude.
No way.
It was part of the doo-wop.
Wait, I know.
You know, it's always freaky, those 1950s recordings where these guys are singing and they sound like...
I always thought that was a girl. Oh, my God.
He was... In 1956, he was...
castrated. Like,
no, he's about 15 years old. He was about 15 years old. So he's a very young man. That was sort of at the apex of his career and of doo-wop songs, and which was a whole tradition amongst...
the younger set?
Well, African-American singers in the 50s.
Was he white or black?
He was black.
Okay. Because I know they had like a lot of like
black
people.
Yeah, it sounds
singers.
Very black.
Had like a front. Okay.
Yeah, why do I have to inject myself with heroin? Heroin basically was the drug of the time, wasn't it? I mean, it's
when
like
hasn't it been in the drug of time?
Do people still do heroin?
Oh, yes. Oh, wow. Especially in Afghanistan now. They're
exporting that opium like crazy.
I only want to do heroin until I lose so much weight, but I want to stop before I get hooked.
I have a date with my friend. When we turn 80, we're going to do heroin.
Okay.
Actually, any of you guys...
As a drip. Probably. you're laying
in
bed.
You guys are so full of shit because you've all done heroin already.
I've never done
heroin. No, I'm afraid to stick needles in me.
I smoked opium once.
You can smoke heroin.
Oh, really?
Yes, you can snort it, too.
I have to news for you, but smoking opium is doing heroin.
No, it's not the same. Heroin's processed.
But it comes from the same plant.
Yes.
Okay. I think it's the same thing.
Ask millions of Chinese.
Is that called Chasing the Dragon?
Chase the Dragon.
The Steely Dan song? Cue the Steely Dan. Okay.
Well, we want to thank our guest today.
I want to talk more. Can I come back?
Yeah, we can talk some more.
Okay. Let's talk about crystal meth.
Yes, crystal! Tina! Okay.
Okay, so we're going to give you a bonus.
Well, wait a minute. I have one little comment to make. You know, I was reading the Sun-Times article about the timeline of the night that the cab driver died.
The Michael Jackson. Oh, Michael
right.
Jackson.
Now,
Michael Jackson, the king of poppers.
Right.
Oh. Michael L. Jackson. Okay.
Now, supposedly, the cab driver picked up Michael L. Jackson at the corner of Cornelia and Halsted and they deposited him at Broadway and Briar.
Yes.
$8 cab ride? No wonder he is pissed off.
Oh my God.
That's kind of expensive.
I can get downtown from Lakeview on an $8 ride.
That would have been a $5 ride with tips.
Well, maybe there was a lot of traffic, though.
What, 4 in the morning?
Maybe. No, it was about 12:30.
Yeah, there might have been a lot of traffic. On the weekend?
$8.
An $8 cab ride? No wonder he was pissed off.
Money,
no,
I'm crapping in my pants just thinking about it right now.
Well, for those of you listening that aren't aware or don't know the geographic or what we're talking about and stuff, it's just around the corner.
Yeah, it's like 10 short blocks.
Yeah.
So if you were walking, how long would it take you?
I
want to say like maybe six.
No. Well, long blocks.
Cornelia, okay.
You're going from 3,600 to 3,200 and then over to Broadway.
Hydrate to Broadway.
Well, today,
The
former owner of Voltaire and Felt got evicted from his apartment above Felt. And
Dr. Steve?
That's the one. All his belongings were out in the street, and the human vultures were tearing apart.
How
another casualty to crystal meth usage. Now, there are rumors that is the front page story. Not that one, but just the fact that crystal meth is devastating gay and lesbian. Well, gay mostly. I don't see that many lesbians doing it, but it's devastating gay communities across the United States. And we sort of, I don't know. What
I had
are we
a friend.
Do?
I had a friend who was doing it, and yes, I tried it.
I'm on it right now.
I tried it once, and I didn't like the way it made me feel. And just to see my friend basically wither away. It was scary.
How did it wither away?
It started to just, the usage was just, okay, I'm only going to do it at, you know, big circuit parties. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm only going to do it, you know, every once a month. Okay, I'm only going to do it just on the weekends. Okay, only 2-3 days. Okay, only once a day. And then once a day. And then it turned into like a week. And then he would disappear and he would come back and he's like, I haven't slept in like 8 days. I'm like, wow.
Pretty.
Yeah.
Well, you know, some people have their cup of coffee in the morning. Well, others do their crystal meth.
Can't they do Vivarin instead? You know?
I just want to do enough crystal to get like a nice six pack and then I'll stop.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what a lot of those gym bunnies do. They take that crystal meth and then they go to the gym and they just work out for hours.
Wouldn't their heart explode?
Yeah.
They do. A lot of people die from
it. I'm guilty of drinking a Starbucks latte and going to the gym and getting on the treadmill, but definitely stimulants, strong stimulants at the gym can be deadly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I really don't know what's going to happen, how we're going to begin to address this issue as a community, because you can't make drugs illegal. Making drugs illegal is not working.
Right. Yeah.
It is destroying communities, is destroying people's lives. We need
nobody wants to
treat it differently.
And nobody wants to sound like Nancy Reagan, but...
The problem is not... We need to stop making it a problem of criminality. We need to treat it as a health issue.
Well, it is a health issue. In fact, healthcare workers are selling it.
No, really. We need to treat the problem as a medical problem.
It is a medical problem.
Do you know
what's not, but we're treating it as a criminal problem. We're putting people in jail.
Well, yeah.
It's not helping them socially.
Well, I think Howard Brown Health Center was beginning to address that, but the problem is that the director of the program was...
He was the director of development.
Development, no. And he was also the person responsible for developing that program. And he was...
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
I think he was just involved in raising money.
I think he was
He was one of... Just trust me. Look, I spent all day researching these
things. He was the one that was caught with all the stuff with intent of selling
and
stuff.
And he only had $36,000.
$36,000.
I love the picture on the front of the other gay newspaper that had...
Windy City Times?
Yes, it had a picture
of
all the drugs laid out. And
nice.
With cash and
pills.
Well,
I have to say, you know, my friend Louis Weisberg wrote a very touching article this week in the Chicago Free Press where you can go online and read it. And he's basically
saying... I read it. It's a good article.
What is that web address? Oh,
well, listen,
you'll
it's
get
posted. We don't need to say these things.
Okay.
Well, you want to hear something funny?
But listen.
Go ahead.
He was saying that actually these men, Michael Anderson and Michael L. Jackson, were really actually nice people, and that addiction to a substance like this could happen to anybody.
It can.
You know, and we're just lucky that it hasn't happened to us.
Well,
we're too busy doing podcasts.
It's funny because it's just, you know, people try it and it's just peer pressure or whatever. You see your friends doing, okay, fine, I'm going to try it. They try it, they get that wonderful feeling. Okay, I'm just going to do a little bit more. And then a little bit more. Then you're like, wow, I need to go to bed, but you can't. So, and it's just so easily to get to. It only costs like $60 for a little bag. And depending on how much you snort, stick up your nose, or you can do, you know, however you intake it. I went to a party one time and these people were smoking something. I'm like, what's that smell? And they had their little pipes and they were smoking crystal. I was like,
so basically any drug can be can be inhaled, it can be smoked.
I was like,
it can be inhaled,
shit.
Snorted, injected.
Yep. Or the booty bumps. People do booty bumps.
Oh, I love that.
That is hilarious.
Makes you a drug pusher.
Define booty bump for our listening audience.
Instead of sticking it up your nose. Yeah, someone's
calling. That's your drug dealer.
I gotta call my drug dealer.
They stick it up their ass?
They stick it up their ass, yeah.
Basically, what you do is you put a little lubricant on your penis, you roll it in the powdered drug of choice, and then you fuck somebody bareback up the ass, which makes you a drug pusher.
Let's end on that note.
No, but
thank you so much, Sal, for coming to our show today.
No problem.
Sal E. cuts hair at Mila's Hair Salon, and he can be seen regularly every day.
Monday nights.
What's the main gig?
Mondays at Green Dolphin.
Mondays at Green Dolphin here in Chicago, Illinois, and...
And just to give you a little taste of what I did.
Is a work of art, so definitely don't miss it.
For Valentine's Day, I was Linda Blair as Reagan from The Exorcist. I haven't sent those pictures out, but everybody was like, wow. I'm like, yeah, you know, a little something for the kids.
I want to thank our ever so kissable Mark Felian for joining me today.
Yay!
And Link Pinks for giving us the history of music and the way it was made.
Yay!
Good night.
Good night. We are dumb and we know nothing. There's no shadow of a doubt.